السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر، صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has yet again given us this beautiful opportunity in the days of Zulhijjah to gather in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most beloved day of the week, and that is the day of Jumu'ah. We take this opportunity and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us the tawfiq of seeing many, many more Jumu'ahs. And we make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He causes our last day in this world to be the day of Jumu'ah. This ayat of the Quran which I have read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, wal fajr. Allah Pak takes an oath by dawn, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, and by the 10 nights. Now ulama explain in the tafsir kitabs, it comes tafsir ibn Kathir, that these 10 nights that are being referred to, the oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking, is referring to the 10 days of Zulhijjah. So these are the 10 nights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring. Sometimes in the Quran the word night will be used, but it will incorporate day. And sometimes you'll find in hadith, in Quran, that the day is used, but it also means the night. So here these 10 days are referred to, according to this tafsir, that these 10 days of Zulhijjah. So these are very great days. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, there are no days wherein the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more beloved than the 10 days of Zulhijjah. And another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the fasting on any one of these 9 days, not the 10 days, the 10 days, the day of Eid, any one of these 9 days is equivalent to fasting for 1 year. And ibadat in the night of these, in these 10 days, in these nights, ibadat in the night is equivalent to making ibadat in the night, Laylatul Qadr. So ibadat equivalent to the night of Qadr, and fasting, a person is getting the reward as though he's fasting for the whole year. So much of reward for these days. And when it comes to these days also, we find that specific ibadat have been made for these days. Person who has to goes to Makkatul Mukarramah, he will see that the plains wherein Hajj takes place, that Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, etc., during the whole year these places are completely empty. In other words, there is nothing that's happening there. If a person feels that he wants to go there and make Hajj on any other day, and he finds it so convenient, I can stone the shaitan, there's nobody here. If I go in Ramadan, there's nobody stoning the shaitan, maybe let me stone the shaitan, let me go to Arafat, it won't be valid. Allah Pak has made it specific to these days, the days of Hajj. So in other words, in these specific days that the whole of Mina becomes alive, Arafat becomes alive on the day of Arafat, Muzdalifah also becomes alive on that specific night. So there are so many things that happen, but specifically to these days. The prices also shoot up on these days. So if a person goes out of these days, they won't be valid. There's no demand at all for out of these days. But in these days, that demand is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked it to these days. So we find ourselves now in these Mubarak days. So now that we find ourselves in these Mubarak days, what should we be doing? What should we do now that we find ourselves in these Mubarak days? The first thing that we should do is we should make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent for our gunas. That we have made gunas throughout the year, we have been so sinful throughout the year, we have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the year. Now in these 10 days, let us increase in tawbah. The next thing that we should do in these 10 days is be very careful of our tongue. Be very, very careful of our tongue, that we don't say anything wrong. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyakul khayran aw liyasmut," or kama qala alayhi salam. That person that believes in Allah in the last day, in other words, that person who is a believer, he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day, that person should say what is good, otherwise remain silent. Now this speaking good doesn't only mean the tongue. It means also nowadays, especially with our chatting. Chatting on the WhatsApp, chatting with the SMS, sometimes sending emails. Let us be very, very careful. Take this hadith in mind, that are we saying anything that is good, anything that is positive, anything that will increase the muhabba of the ummah, anything that will create love and unity, anything that will promote deen, Are we saying something that's going to create disunity? Are we saying something that's going to harm our dunya and harm our akhirat? This morning we discussed one incident. This incident is actually mansub. It is attributed to a very great personality. I won't mention his name, just so that we make hifazat of his name. But he's a great muhaddis also. And he relates this incident. So he says that on one occasion, he explains to his student what had happened surrounding this incident is he had done a business deal. When he had done this business deal, it was something that was doubtful in nature. Now these great personalities were not like us. When we want to do something that's doubtful, we'll look for some leeway, we'll look for some ruling that will justify this deal we are doing and we'll make the deal halal. They were not like that. When he had done this business deal, he realized that this was a doubtful, a grey area. It was a deal wherein it was a bit doubtful from the Sharia aspect. So what he decided to do, being the pious person that he was, he took the profit and the capital and had given it away in charity. Masla wise, what you should do is a person gets involved in anything, maybe it's something where there's interest involved, his capital he's still allowed to keep, but that interest should be given in charity. Or that amount of profit that is doubtful, that profit amount should be given in charity. There's no need to give the capital and the profit in charity, but because of the high level of taqwa that he had given everything away in charity. Now it so happened that his supplier was demanding payment. He had intended, not that he didn't intend to pay the supplier, but he didn't have the money at that time when the demand was being made now by the supplier to repay, to pay for the goods that was purchased. So he didn't have that money. Now what had happened in the Islamic government, there is something known as habs, where a person may be, in some mazahib, they apply this law, where a person may be restricted from trading, he may be held back, he may be for a short while be imprisoned until he makes arrangement for the payment. Otherwise, there's a possibility that he can't pay one person, he'll go into other deals, and maybe after a while, half the town he's owing money. So until he doesn't arrange for payment for this one person, then he is not released from there. So now when he was in this imprisonment, he explains to one of his students, he said, let me explain to you something, why I'm in this predicament today, that I find myself in this prison, I find myself jailed. He says, 40 years ago, I addressed one person, I ran him down. I misused my tongue, the way I spoke to him in a rude manner, I spoke to him in a bad manner, I addressed him as, Ya Muflis, oh you bankrupt person, oh you person who's insolvent. So I used these words on that man. 40 years later I'm seeing the effects of my words, I wasn't careful what I said. So sometimes when we want to forward on message or we want to say something, let us be careful, what will be the repercussions of this? Are we prepared to accept, are we prepared to take this repercussion, can we handle it? So we must be very careful. You see, one word I sent, and today I find myself in the same predicament. Anyway, the next thing that we should find ourselves and do in these great days is increase takbirat. Increase the takbir, the tashriq. That Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Read it abundantly. It comes in Bukhari Sharif that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, they would go into the bazaars and the marketplaces and they would start reading this loudly, this takbir. People would hear them reading the takbir and they would also start reading the takbir. So they would encourage others in this way by reading it a little bit loud. So now and then encourage our family members, instead of just talking, sitting, wasting time, these are very, very Mubarak days. Let us increase in this takbir. Read it extra. Read it more. Let us make this our zikr now, our wazifa, that we increase in this takbir. The next thing that we should do is, as I mentioned, is fasting reaps the reward of 1 year's fast. If we are unable to fast for the full period, then at least try and fast Monday and Thursday, minimum. Or if a person still is not in this position to fast, then at least try and fast on the day of Arafah. Arafah is the day before Eid. A person fasts on this day, then what is the reward in the hadith? It comes that 1 year's previous sins are forgiven and the future sins also are forgiven just by a person. So the previous year's sins are forgiven and the future is forgiven now because of this fasting on this day. So let us at least try on the 9th of Zulhijjah to try and keep this fast. So this is the next thing we should do. The next thing we should do is at least before we sleep, read 2 rakats or 4 rakats namaz and make the niyat that I'm reading Tahajjud Salat. As I mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, worship on this night is like worshipping on the night of Qadr. At least we can read 2 rakats or 4 rakats before we sleep and make niyat that I'm making the niyat of Tahajjud. And when a person wakes up, if he wakes up at the time when Tahajjud is still a time of Tahajjud, then by all means he can read again another 2 rakats or another 4 rakats. Many people are waking up for Sehri anyway. So before our Sehri, let us read this 2 rakats, 4 rakats and make niyat of Tahajjud. So this is the next thing a person should do in this period. And what else should we do in this time is we should make niyat in our hearts that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let this be the changing point in our lives. We can see how many things are happening around us. I'll conclude on this. We can see how many things are happening around us. If our eyes don't open at this time, then when will our eyes open? So let this be a changing point in our life. Oh Allah, we've seen many zilhijjahs before, but this type of zilhijjah we haven't seen before, with the whole world is in a turmoil. Oh Allah, let this be an ibrat, a lesson for us, that we change our entire life. Maybe we're not going for Hajj, but never mind, we're not going for Hajj. Let the Zilhijjah be, let the days of Hajj be a changing point, as though we are coming fresh from Baytullah, like that Haji, completely clean. We are turning a new page in our lives. We are changing our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Brother, just one word of advice, that as we know, many people ask and many people mention, as far as the Eid is concerned, as we know, our Shariat is a very, very, very beautiful Shariat. It encompasses and incorporates and it accommodates in a very beautiful manner. So we shouldn't make this any kind of conflict, any kind of discussion, nor should we have enmity for any person. We should love every person and we should have muhabbat for every person. On one occasion, we were with Hakim Akhtar Sahib, it was in Pakistan, and it was Eid in South Africa and people were still fasting in Pakistan. So a great alim from South Africa had phoned him, and we happened to be right in front of him when this happened. So a great alim from South Africa had phoned Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh, and he said, Hazrat, it's Eid here, Eid Mubarak. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib, in such a jovial manner, in such a nice manner, a lesson that we can take from here. So he said, Rozedar mo, Eid Mubarak, kaise keh sakte? That person who is fasting, how he can say Eid Mubarak? So he just, in a joke, in a very jovial way, he mentioned this to him. So the idea is, brother, some people will be fasting, some people won't be fasting. But the idea is, let us not make an issue. We can still have a casual chat. We can still joke with the person. We can still appreciate that the person is our brother. Both are correct. Person fasting whichever day he wants to keep Eid on whichever days he wants. At the end of the day, we are all one ummah. We are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We don't make issues like this. Sharia has allowed this wus'at, has given us wus'at. We follow who we want to follow, but we don't make any issue. The main thing is, we create and we correct our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what will mean and what will count on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah forgive us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.